I want to welcome you guys today to our technology session. First of all, I want to apologize to everybody because I tried to get information out for issues beyond my control. Certain things didn't get out and get to the membership. Okay, I'm passing the buck, in other words. Anyhow, there are some things that are going to, you're going to be seeing today that are going to hopefully help you. Very first person that will be presenting today is Lena Resnick from ABIC. ABIC is a company that's responsible for a tool that I've become very dependent on. How many of you use Kurzweil and OpenBook and use a regular scanner that takes forever to scan a page? Yeah, it takes forever. I can scan a page in a matter of 3 seconds. It's reading to me. Anyhow, Lena's going to talk to you about some of the products that ABIC carries. One of the ones that I use is called iPal, and iPal has turned out to be a lifesaver for me. I, in addition to doing outside consulting, I also do side work with both the VA, and I also do consulting work for the city of Los Angeles. And I've been in meetings where I need to read things as they're handed to me. And for the first time, I can say that I am able to not only compete at the same level, but have access to immediate information as the people that are sitting next to me who are quote-unquote normal. And we know about that. Anyhow, so I'm going to... I do not want to get rude and start pointing fingers at people. I also want you guys to remember that if I don't mention this, Roger's going to hit me, but and Bernice will trip me. Nevertheless, okay, at 4 o'clock, the CCLV group, is it?
Yes.
Correct. They're going to have things that talk in this room, so you'll get plenty of technology. But nevertheless, I want to turn the microphone over to Lena to talk to you about some of the ABIC products. We have ZoomX and ZoomTwix and now iPal. And I tell you, guys, she will be at the booth during the exhibits tomorrow and Saturday. Unfortunately, I got to fly out tomorrow night. I have a engagement that I need to speak at on Saturday morning, so I need to get out of here in the evening. But I think that you guys should go look at iPal. I think it's a blind professional that is out in the field or needs to have access to immediate printed information. This is a device that has basically made things much easier, even more level playing field for us to compete with the quote-unquote normal world. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to Lena. Go ahead.
Okay, yes, thank you very much for this opportunity. And I know that you usually do not invite like a vendor, but I believe that Louis like recognizing in us not just a vendor, but the creators of a new technology. So I would like to say a couple of words about how we started, because people, I am pretty sure, like, have anybody here heard about ABIC and iPal before? Yeah. No. Yes, you did. Yeah. Oh, I am really impressed because there were three hands there. We are in business for a little bit more than 2 years, and we started with the devices for low vision, not for the blind. And what happened? So our first device was Zoom X. And it was a scanner which worked really fast. And for the low vision people, it will display text in formatted mode. So you don't have to use any XY table. And everything is on the screen. And it was pretty easy to read. And this is where we started. So from there, we moved to the second device, which is ZoomTwix, which adds a second camera to ZoomX. And both of them now can talk. So the text, printed text, is converted to the speech and pretty fast. And what happened to us last year during the CSUN, that blind people, just blind professionals, stopped at our booth, took our Zumex, which we never thought that it will be good for the blind people, and say that it is the best thing for the blind person I can get, so I want it. And we were like shocked because we did not, like, we try to be perfectionists. Like, if you do something for somebody, we want to be sure that this is a device for the person whom we sell it. And so after this, we put a lot of effort to convert Zumex to a new device, iPal, which has been done for the blind people. So for when we are dealing with iPal, when we like designing it, when we are testing it, we just close the screen completely. So we pretend that all of our developers are blind. And everything which is going on there can be done by the blind person without touching a mouse, without looking anywhere. And because I can see that majority in this room are blind, I will start with iPal because it is the newest one and will be, I think, the most useful for the audience here. So the whole device is, like all our devices, are very portable. And all of them are USB devices. So you need a computer, and it can be any IBM-compatible computer, nothing special. The only requirement of the computer is USB 2.0 port, so it should be fast port. And the device, iPal, is only 1 pound. It is foldable, and when it is folded, it fits in any laptop bag. So our youngest user of the device is 8 years old. Our oldest user was 104 years old. Fortunately, yes. So when people say that it is for this group or this group, it is just for any blind person. But Louis also already mentioned KNFB reader, for example. And this is like first question we have. Is it your reader is the same as KNFB reader? Are you competing with KNFB reader? And we do not compete with KNFB reader. We're really, really good friends with them. It is a completely different niche. Like, with KNFB reader, you can read a small amount of text. Like, if you go to the restaurant and want to read the menu, KNFB reader is the perfect tool. You will not take laptop and our device with you in most cases to read the menu. But if you are a professional person, student, or you just like to read a lot, you cannot deal with KNFB reader. Because as one of the KNFB readers, reader users told me, that if I want to read a book with KNFB reader, I will use maybe 20-25 batteries. And it is just wrong by definition. So our device is for those who wants to work or who wants to read a lot. So you take this folded device out of your laptop bag, you unfold 2 legs, lock them in a position, and unfold the camera. So when it is unfolded, it looks like a tripod where the lower legs, one is 8.5 inches, another one is 11 inches. So you know exactly where to put your paper, where to put your bag. Everything which is between these 2 legs, like size, letter size, 8.5 by 11, will be captured instantly. So no question about where the camera is, where I put my paper. You just drop your paper, and if the book is less than this size or paper less than this size, it can be under any angle. You don't have even to align it. So it is great for small kids. For them to align something is really hard. Another thing, you don't have to know where the beginning of the page, where the end of the page. It can be under any angle, like upside down or 90 degrees, we do not care. If you have text only on one side of the paper and you put it, the side which has no text is up, it will tell you that there is no text there. So you know that you have to put it. And so the speed of this, like people, let me do this first. Let me show you the speed of this, and then I will explain to you. Like I think it is always a question: how can you do this? Like why it takes you only a few seconds to read when everybody else takes like 20-30 seconds, and why it takes you only 1 second to scan like it certainly looks like magic, but there is no magic here. It is just high tech. We used what is available in high tech industry today, and we use the brain of our people. So this is all. So I would like to demonstrate to you. Let's say a newspaper. So if there are people who can see, I can just show the newspaper here. It is AAA Travel. And this one has 1, 2, 3, 4 columns, a picture, title, another thing written on the red and dark blue with white letters, and then it is dark letters on white, and a picture and something in italic under the picture. So it is not something which is easy. And to make it worse, I will put it 90 degrees here for now. So, okay. You heard this. Camera started, camera stopped. Let me do it in a different way. I push it. Camera started. So, when camera started, it is active image there. It is active image here. You see, what I would like to say now, that I will be in this hall tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. And I just ask everybody to come to find, during these 2 days, to find 10, 15, 20 minutes, as much as you can. We will have at least 3, maybe even 4 workstations there for you guys to use and try. And bring with you all your printed documents, anything you can find, what you wanted to read maybe for a long time and could not read, or just grab something from your room or from any vendors here who will be here, and try it on your own. So camera is active now. The only thing I have to do, I click the E key. You hear the click.
Won't you find the heavy curtains bracket in your picture window are drawn back, and the morning skin light streams in, sparking the air in golden beams. The ripples in the calm waters of the river below glitter as swans.
Let me stop it. So you notice to take an image, it usually takes only a second. But it is not that it is always a second, or 2 seconds, or 3 seconds. It will not take an image if the lighting is bad, if your hands are there, or anything like this. We have this motion detection there. So when I say that it is really fast, if I try to do something now and put, we already read this one, I will put something completely different. This is a letter from Citibank about credit cards. I took mine. So to switch to a new page, I just click space and E. So this time it was fast.
For tinkered members like convenience, security, and savings. For starters, check your account summary, view your current balance, anytime, any place.
I will show you the different thing. Now I will try to read. I do camera started again. And now I will click the same letter E. But what I will do before this, I will put my microphone under the camera so that there is no good image there, there is no good lighting there. So I click E, and it is moving something there. You hear, you heard this click. It was waiting until it is good. Okay. So it is fast on one side, and it will take enough time to be sure that it will capture the right page which it will be able to read. Okay. So the next interesting thing here, and I can move to the same newspaper. Okay. Again, I start the camera. Camera is here. And instead of saying E, so it is again, it is a new image. It doesn't matter that it is the same newspaper. I can turn it in a different way. I can click another key combination, Shift E.
3 columns, 11 main sections, 1 header, 463 words, 31% text.
Okay, so you heard this. So you, even before you read this, you know approximately what is in front of you. And if it is It told you that it has four columns and so many words. And this is a great example, because if you read it now, you know that...
Travel where the big ships can take you on a riff by Monty Fage, the heavy curtains bracket in your picture window.
So all these words, it looks like all these words have been already processed. The secret here, one of our secrets, that we do not OCR or do not process the whole page. At first, I have to tell you that what people always say, oh, it is so fast, what OCR do you use? And I can tell you that we can use any OCR engine. We, what we are going to do now, we will move to Google OCR, which is free. So it will save us a lot of money, because the speed and the quality comes not from the OCR itself. OCR is just the words which people use to like to know about. What is important when you are dealing with any printed text, it is how you analyze the page. So what we do, we look at the whole page and we use artificial intelligence to understand what pieces, what parts of this page are there and where we have to start reading. So we are, and then what we will do as soon as we know, like what you heard when I described the page, how many columns there, how many titles there, we know where to start reading, and we OCR just these few words. So this is where the OCR speeds come from. And then another thing, if again, if I compare this with like anyone who follows us, like I was really surprised at CSUN last month, that a year ago we are the only at CSUN who demonstrated anything like this kind of technology. Now, like there are four or five companies which think that they can repeat this. And what they do, they take this OCR just off shelf. They pay this money for OCR. They take a camera. Like, for example, this KNFB reader is nothing more than a Canon camera. So people take a camera, take OCR, put them together, and they hope that they will get nearly the same result. And the result is certainly not even close, because it takes them more than, like sometimes even a couple of minutes before the information from Canon camera will be transferred to the computer, and then OCR will work on this. So what we do have done, when I will urge you to try to come to touch the camera here. It is really small. It is like two inches by 2 inches and half an inch thick. But it is, the camera is also our own design. So we transfer all these images and work with all these images in a special way. So we make them even color ones as black and white, and like we use like at the same time multiple threshold, multiple things like, it is, again, it is our own design. This is why the capture is so fast. Okay, so now enough the series. I want to explain to you other things which we can do. So I just stopped this page. I can click X.
And the morning sun light streams in, sparking the air in golden beams, the ripples in the calm waters of the river.
So now it is just continuing reading. And I can use other keys like arrow down.
That was a typical morning view for Rebecca Ray. You will leave no scenery unseen. You will waste no... conquer the roots of trade. It was one of the best.
Okay, so what I was doing now, I was jumping from one sentence to another. So we have this ability, like in JAWS, which people used to deal with the same key combinations. You can go from word to word, from sentence to sentence, from section to section, and you can spell the word. So I will spell the word now.
B-E-S-T, comma, blank, M-O. S-T, blank, U-N.
So if you need any kind of these things, you can do this. Another great thing here, that you can save any printed text into the text file, again, immediately. Whatever you do here, it is just a question of how fast your fingers will move. So we don't have any delay here. So now I will use a key combination like Shift, Control, and W, and you will hear what will happen.
Text file APR 10162622TXT save.
Okay, so now this, I don't remember when we tried this, how many words were there, like around 600 words. So all the 600 words are in text file, and you have a choice to save it as a notepad text file or Microsoft Word text file. So for people who are like in business, in any kind of employment, this is very valuable feature. I do not even talk about the students. They don't have to retype everything. They can, as everybody else, and even better than others, like in the scan a page and cut and paste and change for their creative writing or whatever. No need to retype everything. Okay, another thing here would be ability to speak in different voices, like whatever voices are on your computer, you can use them, and you can go and buy, like, if you like some voice, go buy, install any SEPI language, SEPI voice will be here. And you certainly can make the speech faster or slower to whatever you're used to. So most of the features from JAWS are here. And whatever you are doing is talking. Like, you don't have to look at the screen to do anything. If there is any question, I will answer it. And if not, I will move to the next very valuable feature here. Yes, please. Sidebars. Okay, we will treat it as a column. If there is a sidebar, we will treat it as a column. You also can use a combination like Control T if you want to read through the table. So it is like something like phone book. You will read it like name and then phone number. You will not read all names and then all phone numbers. It will be smart enough to understand this. And no more questions. So the next thing here, that if you need to save more than read, not to save, let's say start with this. If you need to read more than one page, let's say a book, an article, whatever, what you can do, you go to book menu, special thing here, and say create new book. You enter the title, and let's say it will be CCB book one. Okay, you can always push the shift key, and it will tell you where you are and what is in this control. Okay, so did you hear this? Sorry, I think.
Type like book one.
Okay, so it will tell you where you are. And then you can say from which page you start. And it can be like only like chapter 10, which somebody told you that it starts with page 172. And this is how you will do this. Because I have one microphone for me and for the computer, I will talk for the computer now for options here. So we try to make saving a book as easy and convenient for people as possible. So when you scan the book, you have three different options. If it is just documents, you can use like one page at a time. And this is one of the options here. Okay. Or if you have to scan, let's say, a textbook, and they are usually big ones, we allow you to do it odd pages first, then rotate the book once. You remember that how you scan anything, you put this printed text under the camera, and you have this 2x which tell you, guide you where to put the book. So you open the book on page number one, you scan the first page, turn the page, it will be page number three now. So you scan only odd pages, but you don't have to rotate the book at all. So, and then when you do done like maybe 100 or 200 pages, and you can save up to 999 pages as a one book. You rotate the book once, and you do not care that the page is upside down or whatever. You just do the even pages now. The only thing you have to do with the next page control, you say that now you start not from page one, but from page two. In this way, we immediately know that you start saving the even pages. And you finish this, you say done, and it is really done. Computer will put all these pages in right order and in right rotation. So, yeah. So now, for people with vision, we have two, I'm sorry, I did not finish with this. For the small books, like I have my favorite small book here, like this Dubliners, which people usually know and read, and it is an old paperback. So, well, I will demonstrate you how we save this book. Very yellow pages, very small print, and when I describe the page, you will know how small the print is just because of the number of words which is on one page. So, you can do it also with two pages at once. So, I will select these two pages at once now.
Scanning options, two pages at once checked.
And now I move to scanning mode. So for people with vision, I have manual scanning mode. It will be a little bit faster because if I can see, I know that the page is good on the screen now and I can say add the page. Like just click letter A or the enter key and it will add. But for people who cannot see, we have auto mode. And it is, let me save one page. In manual mode, it will be like this.
Add button.
Add button, and you can hear the click immediately. So then I just turn the page, and let's stop. Now, for people who are blind or really low vision, we have
mode. Auto mode checked.
And here I will start auto mode.
Auto mode button.
Okay, so what I do here, I just turn pages. Do you hear clicks? Okay, you heard the clicks now. So this is how you do this. So you just turn the pages, and we know that the page is turned, and it is in a good shape now. Now, if you turn the page, let me do it one more time in this way. So I turn the page, but my hand is here now. You don't hear the click. And it can be for as long as needed. And it can be my hand, it can be the bad lighting, it can be anything which does not allow you. Okay, now there was a click. And okay, so, and if my hand is here now, and I will put it to the computer now, so. Okay, so it waited until everything was fine. So for now, I can stop it. So we saved already, like, 19 pages. We already saved 19 pages during this time, because we saved two at once. So the only thing you do after this, you click the Done button. So now the page 18 is open, and you can start immediately reading it. So I click in the same way as it was before. I click E.
E. IVDK, the committee room 121. He replaced the cardboard wearily. Only I'm an old man now. I'd change his tomb for him. I'd take the stick to his back and beat him while I...
So it is... Why are you laughing? Uh-huh. Okay, so it was a good page. See, I'm so busy pushing the right button and just checking that I'm talking in the microphone that I didn't hear what it said. Now I read it. Okay. It is Dubliners. James Joyce, Dubliners. Okay, so you got the idea how this is done. Okay, so now just imagine the student in a classroom. For the blind and low vision student, the most difficult task in the class, when the teacher says, go to page 175, and by the time that I found this page 175, the class already finished reading it. No, seriously, this is a major complaint. So in this way, kids themselves, or with the help of teachers or parents, they can save beforehand as many pages as they just need, maybe for this 1 week. One chapter in history, one chapter in math, one chapter here, one chapter there. And when the class starts, they just know that they open the right book, and the teacher says, go to this page, they go to this page faster than their comrades with their vision, full vision. And then they click one button to start reading this, and again, it is instantaneous. And because they usually can hear like a lot of words in a minute, and they can read faster than those who are in the class. It is really hard to believe, but what I heard from these low vision kids in school, in high school, that they are faster in class than those who have vision. That they sometimes help others. So they completely, like their role in the class completely changed. So for kids, it is like really eye-opener, because the whole situation is different. They can help somebody. Not they are always asking for help. So we had a kid who used earphones, like there are two earphones. So his neighbor asked for another one. Like he used one and his neighbor did not want to read. He asked for another one. And the kid said that it was the first time, like, he said that it was first time when somebody asked him for help in reading. Like, it never happened in his life. Okay, so this is about IPAL and what IPAL can do. And other things here are foreign languages and voices and, I forgot very, very important thing. We integrated IPAL now with a Braille display. Yes. So now you can, read, when you come tomorrow, you will be able to try it. So you can read in the same way as you listen to the text read to you. Instead of doing this, you can just put your hands on the Braille display and read it exactly with the same speech, with the same speed. So you can, from the Braille display, you can start the camera, you can stop the camera, you can start reading, you do everything from the Braille display. This is great, again, at school because the ears are open to listen what is going around you. And it's very convenient for people, for professionals during the meetings. They can read on a Braille display and at the same time listen to what is going around.
I can tell you guys that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Lena, but from a person that attends meetings and being in city council meetings, I can be listening to them and the computer at the same time. But since I've been using iPad with a Braille display, I am able to review things as the meeting's going on without having to focus, keep my ear focused on the computer. I'm listening to the meeting, and at the same time, in Braille, I'm reading everything that I'm scanning in as things are going on. So it is a major, major asset to get instantaneous Braille access to printed material.
Очень хорошо. Oh, you recognize my Russian accent. This is great. You see, there are, like, when people say, like, it is my disability. Yeah, another disability, what I know that my disability is this, my very heavy Russian accent. But what is good about this, that people always recognize me on the phone. If they heard me once, they know that this is me. I don't have to introduce myself. Yes, there was a question there. Edit mode? No, there is no edit mode on the original text. You save it as text, and then you can edit it like in Word or in Notepad. Mm-hmm. So now I would like to speak a little bit about other two devices, because some of you have vision, and many of you are working, even being blind, you are working with people with vision. So other two devices are Zoom X and Zoom Twix. So first, for those of you who are dealing, being completely blind, are working with low vision clients, we have special mode when you demonstrate the low vision devices, which will tell you what is on the screen. Like, we don't give it to the customers, but we give it to our dealers who are blind and to professionals who are blind and dealing with low vision people. So for the first device, ZoomX, will be mechanically look exactly like iPal. So it is the same tripod, you know where to put the paper exactly in the same way as you do with iPal. But you, as soon as the document is under the camera and camera started, you can see the image of the page on the screen, and you can see it magnified. You can have a preview window where the whole document is on the screen, so not so big, and you can click somewhere and say, I want to see this part of the document or that part of the document. And you can use arrow keys to navigate the document, like when you do it as if you are moving XY table. Okay, then if you want to read this document, physically read it on the screen, you format the text. And what formatting will do, it will remove all graphics out of this page. And then it will look at the structure of the page, and let's say if it is a newspaper and has multiple columns, it will put one column after another, separate them with a thick line that you know that one column has done and you are now on another one. And when you magnify the text, the text will never run off the screen. So the words will be wrapped, and there are multiple options there how you can wrap the text, like the new word will be always on a new line, or you can put half of the word on the line. And you can see it on the screen in different color schemas. So it can be reversed colors, it can be any color combination, whatever. So for macular degeneration people who can see only certain color, it is really useful. And if it is absolutely necessary for people with macular degeneration, we even have done this a couple of times, they will give us the color numbers, which are very peculiar, but they can see only colors which they could see, and we will do these colors for them. You can also print in a large font. So whatever you see on the screen, you can print in this large font, and it will, you don't have to stitch these pages together to be able to read it. It will be, again, text will be wrapped, so instead of having handout, let's say, on one page, you can give your client or to your kid, students at school, like 5 or 6 pages, but they will be able to read it as large font book. And again, they can, which is very important for kids at school, they can read in any language. It can be German, French, like 10 European languages. They can save the book exactly in the same way as I showed to you. So they can go to the certain page when they are in class. And this is what iPal or ZoomX will do for them. To move to the next device, which we named Zoom Twix, and Twix means like two, we added the second camera. And the second camera looks like this. For those who can see, I have it here, but because this is what should be on the screen, I don't want to waste your time to display it now. The second camera is like a regular CCTV. So it is just flexible CCTV. So they can, at the beginning of the class, how they use it. They point it to the whiteboard, and they do not touch it after this. Because for them to find this whiteboard is a task in itself. It is not easy to do. So they done it once in the beginning of the class, and then to look down and read something, they use a second camera, like ZoomX camera, iPal camera, this kind of camera. So, and they switch from one camera to another with one key press, it is F7. So they can look at the whiteboard at 1 second, and next second they're already reading something. And they can take, when they are looking at the whiteboard, they can save snapshots of what is there as many times as they want. It doesn't take any time at all. And they don't. There are multiple options here. When you save something, you can say it is default, and it will go to default directory, and it has a timestamp, so you know when you have done this. Or you can say, this is a really important thing for me, you can give it a name and do it in the same way as you do a save as, let's say. So what is really important here is that low vision students or professionals during the meetings, they have no way to take notes. It is just practically impossible to see what is somewhere there and then to write it down and look at this at home. Instead of doing this, they take snapshots of PowerPoint presentation or whiteboard or whatever, when teacher is showing something. And then at home, they can review all this stuff. And if it should be magnified, they can magnify it at home. So we really increase this device. We really increasing the productivity of students just drastically. Not just something like a little bit, because it is all instantaneous. It is really like it is not a step; it is a leap for low vision kids. Another thing I try to remember what not to forget about any important things here. When you have any document, you can save it as image or you can save it as text. So both options are available. And when you have something already saved, you can download this and use the software. You don't need the device at all. So, for example, like people I know, our dealers, when they are traveling from East Coast to the West Coast, they don't take a device with them. They saved all their material. They used only a laptop in jet, like, to read it. So, or you can do it for your vacation, whatever. Yes. Please. You see, if it is printed, like we are not reading anything from the computer. Like you use Zoom text for this. And it is already there for most people. We are talking about only printed material. And for printed material, we do not care what it is. It can be anything. Like what I would like to demonstrate to you now, what I usually do, like when we are talking about elderly people, now a lot of elderly people use computers. Like this, grandmothers like to send emails and get pictures of their grandchildren and great-grandchildren there. So how people are using this is this. Yeah, let's say what there was this real estate guys here. So I pick up a lot of their documents plus something which I pick up on the front desk here. So, like, imagine that tomorrow you will go with these 20 vendors which will be here. Everybody will give you a flyer. Nobody cares, can you see even on conventions like this? Can you read them or you cannot read them? No, seriously, I am one of them. I have something in text, but we are changing stuff pretty often. So, I just put a pile of papers here. All this different stuff. And another thing is, like, I will put, like, a magazine. And this is, what kind of magazine this? But it is a glossy one. I think it is a Business Week. Like, yes, it is a Business Week. So you just put all this stuff here, and you don't want to read anything. Let's assume that you don't want to read anything now. What you really want to do, it is a junk mail, it is this flyers, magazines, whatever. You just want to sort this, like to put something in this corner which you want to read later. So this is how you will approach this. So I have to get out of this book, which we created. I start the camera. I will try to sit, and then I will talk to this microphone myself, and the computer do the same. So I click, camera started. So I see it. So I click E. You heard the click?
090, the Welch Way, I, Jack, and Susie Welch employee polls, a vote in favor. When corporate surveys ask the right questions, the answers become invaluable. My company runs an...
You know what it is. You are interested in this article, you put it on this side.
Camera started.
It is another one. I click E. I am clicking... Okay.
Room changes as of March 27, 2008. Calendar of events. Thursday, April 10, 2008. Calendar. 1 p.m. Technology and Rehabilitation. Tahoe room was in Sonoma.
So, you know what this one? I
camera
start
started.
Camera. It is another one. And you do the same thing.
Control from the home office, efficiency at the sites. The site is the first property management system to give owners and managers.
You know what it is? You can throw it away if it is not what you need. Or you can...
Camera started.
Put it in a proper folder. Like, put it in a proper folder. You do what you need with this. But you immediately know what we are talking about. And the next one I have completely different...
Have you been out in public with a child and they see a disabled person? Then the child begins to stare at the disabled person and starts asking you questions, such as, why is that man in a wheelchair? Or,
you know that it is from completely different. Okay.
Camera started. Spring is, for a limited time, you can get great deals on environmentally responsible shag hardwoods, carpeting and area rugs. It's a natural for anyone who camera started.
And see, I don't, try
HDTV, high definition TV brings you the sharpest, most lifelike picture ever. What is it with Comcast?
You don't care, you throw it away. But this is how anybody, even the elderly people and the young people, whoever, but they can just go through all this and sort all the junk mail, whatever you bring from the conference like this, in a few minutes. So I went, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, I went through 7 papers and this in a minute. Yes. Yes. We ignore graphics. No, we ignore graphics. You just will remove these graphics. But you see, graphics can be different. Like in many textbooks, graphics has words. And if there are words which we can read, which is something readable, like it isn't printed, and we will read this graph. We will read this. And if for those with low vision, each such words will be separated with lines. So you know that it is not something is missing, but it is just from somewhere. So we try to do as much as like possible based on our intelligence level now. Like in 6 months from now, maybe it will be more. Yes, please.
Two questions. One is, will it read coupons? That also comes in junk mail.
Uh-huh.
And the other question is, are you working on anything so that it will work with one of the note takers?
Very good questions. About coupons, you see, what happened to with us at CSUN, I made a presentation there, and there was an elderly couple. Both of them were blind. So they listened to me, and they came out, and they picked, like, the whole bag. And when I say the whole bag, it was really maybe, like, 60, 70 different pieces from CSUN. And they came to our booth, was sitting there for maybe half an hour, and there was a big crowd there because people were just interested in what they were doing. And after they went through all of this, he took his medicine bottle, and we were able to read this medicine bottle. And I can tell you that some of them we can read, some of them, it depends on the this pharmacy. Some of them are not readable. But those which have really good text on them, with your, especially what is, it will always read is how many refills you have. I don't know why, but this is what all pharmacists put in a readable way. So they got iPal. We were selling this. We usually at the end of the show we sell all demo units at $400 off. So they bought one iPal, and it was on Saturday, and on Monday we had a call from them. The guys were from Virginia, and they said that they were sick and tired of fighting over this iPal between themselves, and they ordered the second one. So this was a unique situation for us. We never sold two iPals in the same family before. And the second question, the answer is yes, we are working on this. And the problem there is only the capacity of the computer inside this note taker. And so far, we found one which will work with us, which will do it fast enough that it will make sense. And if everything goes right, I think in the next, no, I'm pretty sure in the next 6 months you will get it. Another one is which could potentially work with us will be from Freedom Scientific. They are not interested in this. We cannot convince them to cooperate, unfortunately.
We have that trouble too, so that works.
Yes. Okay. So you will understand.
Also, Ken, to answer your question, I read coupons all the time. I love getting my Burger King coupons every week. And I was very impressed, and I'm not just saying this because Lena's here, but I'm going to tell you right now that there's nothing like getting home to go to junk mail. For the first time, I can do that and know exactly what we're getting.
I almost throw it away, so that's great.
Yes. Okay, iPal is $2,000, $19.95 really. We have like two or three of them here. I'm alone here, so it is not we, it is me. I brought as many as I could, and we will sell them at $400 off on Saturday. And then if you want to order, we have a dealer here. It is Yuri Drell, and the name of his company is Synergy. Yeah? Louis, Synergy?
That's correct.
He's new. I'm not sure. Yeah, but he will be here tomorrow and on Saturday also, so you will be able to meet him, to talk to him. And please don't trust my word. Come with your materials, try to read. I always invite people with something which we cannot read.
Bring whatever you guys want to, and I encourage you to bring anything. You know what? This morning I was reading the literature, sitting on the table in the hotel room, and before I'd always had this problem with it not picking up everything. I was impressed how fast I went through everything that was sitting on the table. So I know pretty much what kind of junk mail they put in there for us to get bored with. Anyway, it's almost 2 o'clock. Any other questions that you guys have for Lena?
Any more questions? And if you come with questions again overnight, come tomorrow. I will give you opportunity to do everything yourself.
Get hands on, try it, guys. I encourage everybody to try it because I tell you, I was first skeptical, and when I tried this product, I was so impressed that I take it wherever I go, and it is always with me. It's never been a problem for me, and it can only get better from here. Mm-hmm. So,
maybe one more thing. We have a special promotion now for blind people who are working with blind users. Like if you are a counselor and you are blind yourself, we can sell iPal for 50% off because we will consider it to be a demo unit. So the only requirement which we put on this kind of promotion is that you personally will use it on a daily basis everywhere you go and show it to all people around you. So it is really a demo unit. And then write us about your experience after a month. Yeah. So, and we do not put any restrictions of numbers here. Okay? Thank you very, very much and come tomorrow.
Okay. All right, folks, before we go on to our next presenters, and I turn the microphone over to Tricia. Mr. Rob Turner wants to ask, make a quick announcement here, so I'm going to give them the microphone. But I want to thank Lena for taking the time to demonstrate iPal and give you guys an opportunity to see what this revolutionary device does. The concept of taking a picture of a paper is faster than waiting for that scanner to go across the actual document. So I'm going to ask, I'm going to let Rob Turner make an announcement real quickly, and then we'll turn it over to Tricia and the rest of the session.
Well, thanks, Louie. And my announcement is that I have left my PacMate charger at home, and I'm going to need to charge up my PacMate. So if anyone has a charger that they would let me use for the afternoon, I'd sure appreciate them contacting me. I'm in room 610, room 610. And as the credentials chair and the nominations committee chair, I really would like to get my PacMate charged. So anyone that can help, please get a hold of me. Thanks.
What can we say about Freedom Scientific products?
Well, you have it.
Okay, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Tricia, and folks, the rest of it is Tricia's show. Here you go, until 3 o'clock, that is.
So, Roxanne, you want to make it to the front? She's going to be our first speaker as part of our rehab committee, and she's going to be speaking about advocacy, her experiences, and hoping to inspire all of you to become a mentor. That we're starting a mentorship program that can help all of you just work through all the issues that you may confront with the Department of Rehabilitation. And I definitely want to thank some people that came today. Catherine Bales, she's our... Oops, we got a telephone going on here. Catherine Bales, who's standing right in the center here. Well, we're very privileged to have her here. She is our program manager / district administrator. And that's a very high level at the Department of Rehabilitation, if you all do not know that. And it just states how the department really does care. We really do want to be there for you. And we also have Joe Smith in the audience, and he's always helpful. He's always helped me figure out all my technology stuff. So if he wasn't there, I'd be, woo, really not doing good. We also have Lilia Fernandez, and she's also a wonderful help to us at the Department of Rehab. She's always helping us maneuver it as well. So anyway, Roxanne, are you ready?
I'm here.
And after Roxanne's going to speak for about 15, 20 minutes, and then we're going to do a skit for you. We have a new group called the CCB Players, and they're all members of our rehab committee, and we're gonna have an interactive play where you're gonna go out to you guys, believe it or not.
I'm Roxanne Stallings, and I'm from the East Bay, El Cerrito. I'm a psychotherapist. I'm an elder adult. And I joined, I started losing my vision about 10 years ago, and I ended up on DOR's doorstep in, I think, 01, asking, you know, what do you guys do, and how might you help me? I got some wonderful responses, and I got all kinds of services and homemaking, and I got some technology training, and I got mobility training for a couple of years. The unfortunate part, and I also was going to be doing some job help, but I ended up getting impatient, so I wanted to go into private practice, so I went ahead and set up my own business and got up and going in the next 6 months. The reason why I'm telling you my story is because the rehab committee is going to be setting up a mentor, advocate, volunteer program to help consumers evaluate their rights and to help advocate on getting the services and the needs met that they want to have and the equipment that they need to have. My experience initially was really wonderful, but unfortunately I didn't get the technology that I really desperately needed to be higher functioning on the job. And it took about 2 years of constantly harassing my counselor before I finally gave up and went to the supervisor and then got what I needed, although I did have to go through an evaluation as a self-employed individual. I work with a lot of visually impaired and blind. About half of my practice are people from the community. And I see a lot of people who come in from Living Skills Center for the Blind. A lot of them are young. And what I'm discovering is that a lot of them are not able to advocate for themselves, and they don't know how to negotiate or to respond to some of the refusals or denials that they get from their consumer, from their counselors. I recently met with Paul Johnson over at CIL, who does the CAP program, and he gave me a ton of information about how to run a CAP program and trying to help us, advise us on how to set up an advocacy program. He gave me a list of the highest complaints for the entire DOR system, so it's not doesn't really necessarily apply to blind field services. But two that really struck me of the top five complaints was the counselors don't return our phone calls, can't get a hold of the counselor, and I can't get the equipment I need. And then the third one was the counselor and I don't agree on what my IEP plan is. Is that correct? IEP or IPE? IP, thank you. Still trying to learn all the acronyms. So what I realized is I wasn't alone in this process. I didn't have a clue what rights I had. I didn't have a clue about what the laws and regulations are. One of the laws that I recently found out is that DOR has a three-tier status of in evaluating individuals' rights to service. And we, in the blind field services, have the highest priority as the most severely impaired. So my suspicion, and I haven't verified this yet, maybe Catherine will address that at some point, I hope, is that are we going to have to suffer the 10% cutback that's being requested, or do the people in the first tier get denied services and we still get to have all the services that we need to have to become job ready? So, in working with my clients, I've discovered that they are afraid to approach their counselors. They are intimidated with trying to take an assertive stand with their counselors. They're terrified of offending the counselors. Many, especially the younger people, are so accustomed to authority figures telling them what to do that when they're given a denial of their request, they just retreat and don't try to fight it or argue it out or really go research and find out what their rights are. And what we're discovering is that there's a lot of lack of uniformity among the counselors as to who gives what, when, and where, to whom, and to whom. So at Living Skills, some of the students come in who are 18, 19 years old with all kinds of equipment that they got right fresh out of high school, and some of them come in with nothing and walk out with nothing. So in exploring this concept of advocacy and kind of doing a few trial runs after I consulted with some experts in the counselor DOR system, I started giving them suggestions on, well, how about writing a letter to your counselor stating specifically what you want, and which of course they've already done, but also give them a time frame on when to get back to them and give an adequate justification for being denied. One of the students had been denied, well, had been told go get quotes, then he was told get a tech eval, which he did, of course, with Living Skills. Then he was told to go to UC Berkeley to get Living Skills or get technology evaluation. And then, just as he was getting ready to order all of the equipment, he was told, oh, by the way, I want to see all of your transcripts from school. This young man has had 3 years of college part-time. and has been going to college consistently since getting out of high school. He has been going to college the entire year he's been at Living School Skills, and the counselor got the transcripts, apparently, we thought, and said, your GPA isn't good enough, I'm not going to give you any equipment. This young man has his own computer, which his family purchased for him, and all he needed was Zoom text for his computer. He also desperately needed a CCTV system, and the counselor said, nope, not going to give it to you. So he wrote a letter, and I kind of coached him through it, and he gave me a copy of it, and I made a little few corrections and sent it back to him. He called the supervisor to get her email so he could send it to her. She said, well, gee, what's the problem? Why don't you just talk to me? And he did, and she apparently has access right to the records and looked at his records, and she said, gee, you're getting really good reports from Living Skills, and looks like you're doing this, this, and this. She said, I'm going to approve authorization for you to start getting equipment immediately, but please do follow through with the transcript request. Apparently, the counselor had looked at a high school transcript after she investigated it and wasn't looking at his college transcripts, which the counselor said, oh, I never got them. But the student had a copy, so he was able to fax them over and complete that little process. This is not an unusual example. I have another student who is just turned 23 today, and she went through OCB for about 6 months and then went to Living Skills. She leaves Living Skills next month. She does not have a Braille note, and she's highly skilled in Braille. She does not, nobody ever gave her a computer, and she's totally blind. And the counselor is saying, well, you haven't made a decision about what kind of work you want to go into, or if you're going to go back, or if you're going to go to college, so I'm not going to give you an equipment until you make this decision and a commitment. The girl has no experience in any kind of work environment. She doesn't know, you know, what to pick, what she wants to do. And she also has a computer that someone gave her, and like so many people, she has a borrowed software program so that she can function on it. So she's getting along okay with JAWS, but you know, not thanks to her counselor. So she wrote a letter recently to the counselor saying, you know, I really need JAWS for the computer that I have that was a gift. And the counselor wrote back and said, please justify your needs. And she backed off. She backed off. She didn't justify it because she didn't know how to say it. And that's really sad, that the consumers feel like they're entitled, they're not sure what to do and how to do it, and really all they need is a little bit of support and guidance through the process. So I just said, write back to the counselor saying you want JAWS for a computer that was a gift to you, and tell her that you want to practice your typing skills so that you can keep your skills up while you're transitioning out of Living Skills. That might, you know, I'm no expert, but it seems like a reasonable request to me. So hopefully we'll find out next week if it worked. And if it doesn't, then a phone call to the supervisor will be the next step. I have just literally, not dozens, but many, many other stories about individuals who have needed just a little nudge, a little support. And so what I'd like to do, is Richard here?
Yes.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Richard to come up because he is a counselor for transitioning students out of high school. And my guess is Richard might have some interesting stories to tell as well. And I think if you're willing, Richard, to kind of address some of the emotional difficulties people have in developing assertive skills. And then when Richard's finished, I'd like to come back and tell you a little bit more about the structure of the advocacy mentor coaching program that we're putting together with this committee, and ask you to possibly participate with us if you would. So, Richard, come on up.
So I had the rest of the hour? Now that you're all awake.
We're going to cut it, you know, we don't have too much time, but, you know, just
a minute.
TPP and the importance of technology for
Yeah, in fact, it's real important that we support our students in the high school system. That's why we have this position for transition outreach and make sure students are getting signed up really early. And I think to hold my calls. to that end, we really want to, you know, provide an assessment. I think at the other end, we're not just going to throw equipment at people and go, here you go, just because you're 16 or you're out of high school or you're in college. We do want to do a proper assessment and evaluation. That's why we want to get students signed up early so we can spend that time while they're in high school and into their training programs, whether it's OCB, DPI, Skills Center, or elsewhere, that they have the proper equipment as they're going into those training programs or during the training programs so we can get them the tools that they need in the training now. You know, we try to make that system-wide and try to make that impactful, and, you know, we want that to be, you know, something that's meaningful and something that's going to work. Some people are losing their vision rapidly and they yet want to see CCTV, so it's a hard issue because you have to talk them out of it and say, you know, in 6 weeks it's not going to be appropriate, let alone 6 months. So there's things like that, the true sense of counseling we have to get involved in with some of those types of talks as well. And, you know, this weekend, for example, we're doing a technology summit up in Napa in Chandon Hills Camp with the Lighthouse for 25 young adults and high school students just to talk about technology and rehab and how that works. So that's just one example of how we are addressing those needs. Am I addressing what you want me to, Roxanne? Hang on, I'm getting tangled up in the wire here.
One of the things is knowing what they need, but also how to express it in a way that gets them where they need to go with their counselors.
Well, yeah, the advocacy goes a long way, and I think when we meet with students, we want the students to know what the whole rehab system is involved. Everything we do for them is ultimately employment, so we have to let them know that. You know, we want to get you a computer or a Braille note or a GPS so that it's going to ultimately help you get employment, beginning with going to college and with getting work experience and with going into work and getting those types of trainings underway. And they have to let their counselor know, these are my goals, these are my plans. My goals might change as I go to community college and figure out what I want to do. And that's to be understood. You know, when I went to college 15 years ago, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I was thinking I wanted to be a history major. And here I am now, a rehab... Shh, don't tell anyone. So, you know, you have to, part of the whole rehab process is the self-advocacy, asserting what your needs are, and talking to your counselor, being a proactive consumer, letting, you know, your counselor know what your needs are in writing. I tell my consumers, hey, I know you asked me for a Braille note, but put it in writing. Put it in a letter so you can rationalize, not just to me, but to my supervisors and to the system. So if it has to be reviewed, it's on file. So those are the types of measures we use to employ our clients and engage them into the process of rehab. Anything else, Roxanne? I don't have a lot of time, so I'm just kind of covering the talking points. Okay, Tricia cut me off. Who's...
Yes.
Question. This is Ken Metz.
Oh, Ken.
Hi. A couple of things. One, I just want to change one word that you said, if you agree with that. The students need to say what they need, not what they want.
Yes. Yeah.
That's number one. Because you can justify what you need. You can't justify what you want.
I'll clarify that,
okay.
Then.
That's a real strong. Now, the other thing, I remember... when I was a rehab counselor, many, many years ago. No, actually, it was just 1998 until I got my other job that I'm in currently. But the issue is that there is actually an appeals process if you don't get heard by your counselor and or the supervisor and or the district administrator. In this case, that would probably be Kathy Bale. You don't get heard, you can start a process. And what they told us, unless it's changed, they said whenever you go through an appeals process, your appeals group is made up of people outside of rehab, mostly. And they told us that 98 or 99% of the time, the consumer gets what he or she needs. So that is an additional process that the person can use. They do have to be proactive. They do have to be
an advocate for themselves, and it doesn't hurt for someone like yourself, of course, and I do that even where I work because, you know, we work with folks who come into our program at the Junior Blind from the Department of Rehab. And so I will do the same thing and sort of counsel them a little bit on what to do. I will have them write letters, and I will at least look at them to make sure, and especially since I have been a counselor, I can look and make sure that they have all the details in there that are absolutely necessary, because then once they've covered all their bases and they still don't get what they need, we go to the appeals process.
When you say appeals process, are you talking the CAP program?
You can go there first. No, it's totally separate.
Separate, okay.
Okay. Guys, we got to move this along.
Yeah, okay. CAP is actually, I mean, they do a good job. And I'm not going to, just because they're a part of the rehab system, they still do a good job. But if they still can't get what's needed for the consumer, there's an actual appeals process totally separate.
Okay.
Okay,
our purpose in setting up this committee is to maybe not take it to the appeals process, to catch all the people who really need just a little support in getting to where they need to go and getting this, in getting the right kind of response.
Right. Right.
So what we really want to do is have mentor coaches. We'd really like to have a representative in each CCB chapter, one volunteer to take phone calls or to, you know, get a referral from perhaps a central office and interview the consumer and find out what the problem is that they're having. That person, if they're not sure it is justified, wants versus needs, then that person can go to a higher level advocate who has more understanding of the DOR regulations, the CCNRs or CCRs, and get some advice on, well, is this a justifiable want or need, and then go back and coach the student or consumer through the process. In talking with the CAP program, and they're totally swamped, totally overwhelmed, and they really only take cases where there's a hearing involved, and they really don't have time to give very much quick advice. They said that the blind and deaf are just a minuscule percent of calls that they get. So for some reason, our population is very underrepresented in the CAP client assistance program with independent living skills. And my guess is the consumers simply aren't strong enough complainers to take it to a higher level. So by doing it this way, they won't have to come on as aggressively, perhaps, as they would have to if they were going to an appeal or a hearing. So my email is Roxanne Stallings, Stallings, Roxanne, Roxanne, at, where am I? SBCglobal.net. And we'll publish it, I think, on the CCB website. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're welcome to get my name and address, telephone number, whatever. And I want to put together a volunteer list. And if you'll pass the word around, we can build this support organization with your help.
We're actually going to be covering that at the end of our skit.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. And this is Catherine Bales. I just wanted to say a couple words. Number one, we really do want to work with our consumers very carefully with what their concerns are. I feel very, very strongly that I want to hear from the consumers if there really is a significant problem. My goal is to try to alleviate problems like Roxanne has talked about at the lowest possible level. A fair hearing or an appeal is when we've hit a roadblock and we're just not communicating at all. And that is certainly not something that we want. When a consumer begins their program with the Department of Rehabilitation, they're provided with a client information handbook. And, you know, it can happen that there's an awful lot that is talked about during that initial interview, and it may get misplaced, or they may not remember that they even have it, what have you. But remember the name of this book. It's called The Client Information Handbook. And to please ask the counselor for another copy of it. They can have it on audio tape or large print in the Braille edition as well. And all of the processes for Department of Rehab for having a plan are outlined in that book. And so it's very, very important to have that. And it talks about the person's rights and remedies. Okay? So the other thing is, you know, please have consumers return, call the counselor. If they're not getting callbacks, call the supervisor. The supervisor really does want to know about any difficulties. And we work together as a team. There may be a way that we really just have are lacking a piece of information and maybe it just got misplaced. But our goal is to work with consumers as part of a team. And that's what our goal is. And like Richard so well put it, our goal is to help people go to work, get back to work, whatever is right for them, but to use the equipment, the AT equipment, so that it will help them to be productive, both at home and at work.
Okay, thank you very much, Catherine. It is a privilege to have her here, since she is the head over Blindfield Services. So, it's great. Okay, you guys, now we're going to do this little skit. And we're going to see how eloquent you can speak back to the rehab counselor. Yeah, come on up, Ken. Nellie's not here. We're going to improv. We're going to make this work. So, okay. As a rehab counselor, sometimes I don't even know all the answers to everything. And you have to understand that. Sometimes people think, well, you're the professional. You must know. But then again, some of you are far more sophisticated and you know better. You know that I'm the professional and I don't know. So, when it comes to technology, I really am clueless. You guys have to really speak to me about how this works and how that works. And that really helps me so much because it helps me justify whatever you need. So let's play this game. It's a little skit we made up. And we're going to come back to you as well. And we're going to see what we really want people to do is just learn how to speak eloquently to the issues when you're working with rehab. And then, you know, from there, the odds are you're going to get what you like. And then, you know, we're going to have a mentorship program to work with people on how to speak to the issues. But also, you know, if there's more problems, we can work with you further to assist. Okay. All right, guys. So guess what my name is for this play? Miss Clueless. And here I am with one of my favorite clients. And your name as my favorite client is?
I'm Lizzie Borden.
Oh, Lord. Well, Lizzie, I just want you to know that, you know, right now we're a little short on funding and we're not going to be able to do an IPE for you, but we are going to be able to write a PASS plan for you since you get SSI and SSDI.
Well, I really don't think that's fair, and I think that's also against the rules. A PASS plan would take me a couple of years to save up enough money to go to school. And, you know, I really need to start as soon as I can, and which I won't be able to do unless you write me an IPE.
Okay. You see how that can work? I mean, she's just speaking very eloquently to the issue. But, Lizzie, I just want you to know one other thing, that right now you're asking for reader services, but I bought you a scanner. And I don't understand why I would buy you a scanner and help you get a reader.
Well, a scanner is a great piece of equipment, but it doesn't work all the time. Some of the classes I've taken, I was given handouts, and the scanner wouldn't read them because they were such bad copies. And some of the stuff I have to read is in a funny text, which the scanners will not read either. So I really need reader services as well as a scanner.
You know, Lizzie, there's one other thing here that's starting to bother me here, too, that I need to address with you. You're only a freshman right now, and you're trying to start up in a college, and you are asking me to go to a four-year college. You can go there, but I'm only going to be able to pay the community college rate.
Well, I know there are exceptions to that. I mean, if you look at my grade point average in high school, it was a 3.8. I did extremely well, and that included some college classes. And also the university would give me some classes that I need for to complete my major with much earlier. In fact, if I went to a two-year college, I would have to take some of those classes anyway. So I think it would be to the benefit of Department of Rehab to get me started right away at a four-year college instead of a two-year college. Also, the four-year colleges have some organizations to which I can join right at the beginning, which would help support me through my IPE of axe making.
Whoa, this is a tough job. Okay, Lizzie, sometimes I get a little nervous when I'm working with you. But you know, you want a Braille note taker, and you also are asking me for a Braille display. So I'm feeling like, whoa, this is really outrageously expensive. You don't need both. Come on.
Well, the Braille note taker is just that, a note taker, and it has a very small Braille display. If I need to write papers and stuff on my computer, I really need a full Braille display so I can, number one, correct errors more easily and read what I have typed more easily than just on a note taker. Plus, ergonomically, the Braille display is much better for me than trying to read, you know, a 10-page paper all cramped up on that little Braille note taker.
Okay. So do you guys from the audience here, all my eloquent clients out there, do you have anything that you could speak back to me on any of those issues that you think you could speak back eloquently to? Better than what Lizzie did. So Lizzie was excellent, right? Yeah. That's right. Scanners, Roger just stated that scanners cannot read handwriting, and that's correct. That's right, yep. So readers are key. So you need to speak to those issues, you guys, if you know, okay. All right, now, I have another new client who's come to visit me. And what is your name?
Anthony Soprano.
Oh, my golly.
Oh, man. Okay,
I better get it together this round, huh? Okay. So, Anthony, I wanted you to come in because you're asking me for a GPS, and I just don't understand why you would need that.
Well, as you can tell, Ms. Clueless, I have a new job now in the Witness Protection Program, and I'm using my transferable skills, and I'm a social worker, and I'm blind, and I need to travel around. You know, I got blinded when I was shot, so now I need this talking GPS so that I can actually get around to home as a social worker for my clients, and I need to navigate and learn routes, and I don't go to the same place every day.
Okay. All right. But now, you know, when you asked me for this GPS, and then you said, I want an SMA and a PMA. And I'm like, come on. You need all that, really?
Yo, listen up. No, really, Ms. Clue? Sincerely, it's a matter of cost, you know, it's a matter of cost. You talk about 10% reduction here and there. I'm trying to help save the state. Trying to get these upgrades isn't going to be cheap lifelong, and I don't expect my case to be open lifelong, but I do anticipate an SMA and a PMA helping out with the upgrades, and I have to come to you every 6 months for $300, $400, $500 when this SMA can cover it in one price, and it's a matter of cost reduction.
Mm-hmm. No, kidding. I'll get myself in trouble here, man. Okay. All right. You know what, though? Since you're just so successful in so many ways, I would really like to look at those IRS forms of yours. Mm-hmm. Because you say you want to get training on the GPS as well. And I just want to know how much money you've got.
Well, other than the shakedown money. Really, though, I was talking to people in CCB, and I was told that's kind of an illegal question. That's not your business to be looking at my IRS forms. I don't believe that's it's confidentiality. Yeah, I don't think that's appropriate. And what is your supervisor's name?
Carol Gallego, and she's excellent. If you get to her, you'll be fine. You know what though? You know, I just wanted to let you know that though, that we are trying to make sure that we're looking at people's finances and that trainings are, we would like you to pay for them if you got the money though, okay?
Whose line is it anyway? I, wasn't prepared for this scripted one. Well, Training is exempt, I believe. Training is something that it says in the handbook, and I was reading on your webpage, and training is something that is covered in my plan. It's not like equipment or other services where there might have to be a share of costs or financial participation. Training should be an exempt service for me not being paid, because it helps me retain my job, get employed, and go to school.
He was good, huh? He was excellent. Yeah. But we're back to you guys now. Have you guys any comments about any of that stuff that you'd like to add to about how to be eloquent and justify the issues? You know, I'm okay. Yes. Excellent comment. I saw a hand over here. You can believe it.
I'm just wondering, at what point do you teach our 18-year-olds that they need to go be prepared and go on the website and know all the stuff? You're not going to know about that.
That's right.
We've got, that's why we would like to start this mentoring program. Now, all of you are going to be well. I want all of you to get signed up with the mentor program, okay? This would be excellent. We need more mentors out there just to teach people. There's so many people to work with and help teach. Okay.
Real quick, Don, to answer your question, putting my rehab hat on as transition coordinator, we do try to do workshops and seminars on this very issue around the state with our transition population, and we don't get to them all. This is why places like the mentor program and CCB and the organizations exist, to fill in those gaps where we, you know, aren't getting to those students.
Today we had another player, a CCB player, and she couldn't make it, Nellie Emerson. So we are going to have Pat LaFrance play her role. Okay. And your name is?
Squeaky Froman.
Oh, no.
She carries a gun.
Okay. Well, we talked on the phone, and you were saying that you wanted to get some services around cooking and all these different, some training in Braille and all. But, you know, you're 55, and you can just go to one of the Title VII programs, and you don't need to work with us.
Well, you know, I was kind of told that before, but number one, I couldn't find any Title VII program anywhere around me. And I really think it's against the law to you refuse to make me a client. I think anybody that approaches you can is at least supposed to be found if they're eligible or not.
Okay, well, you also want to go to school, and you gave me your FAFSA, which is required. We always have to get the FAFSA, and it's really important to apply for all that. And on it, it looks like they didn't earmark tuition, but they did earmark living expenses, and we need to use that money to help pay for your tuition.
Well, I got that money strictly for living expenses. And if I don't have money for living expenses, I won't be able to go to school. And I know that you at Department of Rehab don't usually supply money for living expenses. So I think you'll need to pay my tuition and I'll have that other money for my living expenses.
She's cool.
All right. Well, you know what? The other part of the picture here is that we're going to need you to apply for some scholarships as well, because we really were trying to cut back on costs, and we need to see that you're applying for scholarships, and that once that comes through, then we can talk about us giving you money. Okay?
Well, actually, I have already applied for scholarships, and I can show you the paperwork for that. But I won't find out if I will get any of them until mid-August. And here it is May, and I have to register in June for classes. So unless you want me to skip a whole semester and miss the beginning of school in September, I really think you should pay for my tuition in September.
Okay. Well, Squeaky did a good job, don't you think? But now we're back to you guys. What do you guys have to say? Can you expand on anything or want to say anything more to the issues? Okay, well, we are moving on to our last CCB player here. Just so you know that we're all rehab counselors or former rehab counselors up here. No claps, huh? Oh, man. Okay. So you got your microphone, Ken?
Oh, is there one here?
I think there's one.
I got it. Well, I'll tell you what. I almost have it, but there we go. Yes.
Okay. And your name is?
My name is Frank N. Stein.
Oh. Okay, Mr. Frankenstein. All right. Right now, the thing is that it's costly to do an assessment, and I just don't feel we need that, because you know what? What I use, I just use Jaws and Magic myself. Perfect. That's all you need. And that's what I'm going to get for you, okay?
You think so, Ms. Clueless, because you don't understand the fact that without an assessment, you have absolutely no direction in which to send me. I don't understand. You were talking to me earlier about writing an individual plan for employment, an IPE. Well, what kind of a plan can you write if you have no understanding of what I already know?
Help. Okay, so you want me to set you up with an assessment for your technology?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll see if I can do that, but...
Well, I know you can, so it's a matter of will you do it?
Okay, all right. Now the next one will... okay, you know what? At the department right now, we're cutting back on travel because we're not... traveling right now. It's too expensive. We're cutting back on costs. And I just want you to know that, okay? So we're not going to be able to do that for you, okay? Unless you can really, really justify that one.
Actually, it's not okay. And the main reason is it's you as the counselor who's being cut back on travel. It's not the client. And if I can't travel to and from places to be able to enhance my education, if I can't travel to and from certain meetings, like going to CCB conventions and things where I get the knowledge and the and where I become empowered to be able to talk with you and know what the rules are, no, it's not okay.
Woo. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? I know that's really it's really exciting when we talked earlier, and I was so excited when you got when you told me you got a job at the Department of Finance. I was like dancing in my room, dancing. And you know what's really great about it? Under the 504 and ADA, they'll just cover it for you. Your employer will cover all your equipment and everything, and I think that'll be that's just beautiful.
Well, you know, I've asked you for some of the equipment that I'm going to need to be able to get that job. And excuse me, and the reason that I haven't asked them is because, number one, you are supposed to understand what my needs are when you and I talk about them. You are supposed to be the expert about, since you're in Blindfield Services, they have no clue as to what to do for me. It may take 3, 4, 6 months before they and I can get together on what I need. And you know what happens if it takes that long? I don't have a job.
Oh, well.
And you don't have a 26.
Okay. Okay, you know, I know that you, we dealt with what you, we just dealt with, and you know, you're asking for not only for the, us to help you with the technology to get you set up on that job, but you're also asking us for training. And I just want to know, you know, why we're doing that.
For training?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we can put all the equipment in there, and if I don't know how to use it, it's still not going to do me any good. And at that point, you might be spending $5,000 for equipment, and you don't want to spend anywhere from $500 to $1,000 for training. That makes absolutely no sense. And the training, again, is something that I'm sure you went through when you were taught how to use the equipment that you have here in the Department of Rehab. If you were taught that, why shouldn't I have that same opportunity, which you are supposed to give under the law, to be able to do my job?
Man, is it fun to play the villain. Woo! Well, you guys, okay, guys. Okay, so we're going to speak eloquently back to me. But you guys have any more things you'd like to say? I see a hand go up. Oh, it's okay. We're just playing. It's just a play. Yeah.
This is Linda Porrell. I'm going to put on my San Francisco Lighthouse hat to give my comment. These are all extremely articulate consumers of services. We get people coming in the door who are losing their sight, who have no idea where the money comes from for any of these services. And I'm wondering, when we send a person to Department of Rehab, how can we best arm them to know even what to ask for coming in the door?
Let me answer that a little bit, if I can, Trish.
Yeah.
One of the things, and I said that before when Roxanne was speaking, one of the things that we are going to offer as a rehab committee, we're going to give our names and phone numbers. They already have it anyway up here in Sacramento at the CCB office. We are going to offer our services by having folks who need assistance. And this isn't going to totally answer your question, Linda, but it's a start. We're going to offer our assistance when a person calls into the CCB office and has an issue with rehab. They're going to put them in touch with one of us on the committee who can help them with advocacy, give them ideas of what to say, how to say it, and so we will be mentors for them. This is something that we're starting that's brand new, and we want to make sure we don't want anyone to abuse the system. But we certainly want people to know how to use it when it's proper, when it's ethical, and when they really have issues. And I think many of us who've been through the system, goodness, I started with rehab as a client first in the 60s, And when you go back that far, I mean, you really do understand. And some of the counselors who were around back then, and who've just retired even in the last 2 and 5 and 10 years, never really understood when the technology started coming up. And these are the things that rehab counselors need to understand, that the technology is here. I can tell you, and I'll do it very quickly, I can tell you cases, you know, when Roxanne was speaking, someone had to justify this and this and this. My wife is out there, and I can tell you that her counselor called me, and because I'm the director of the program that she was in before we, you know, went out or knew each other. I will say that, but the point is, asked me to justify why she needed a Braille writer.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, so in essence, I think we want to be able to help people from being humiliated. We want to help people get the things they need so that we can speed up their cases, not have people under rehab for 10 and 15 and 20 years. Where does that benefit the department? So we will be available shortly after we talk to the office and make sure that they do. If you have questions, or you have clients that have questions, or friends that have questions, we will be available to assist.
And you would get a hold of us through the CCB office at their phone number, the 916-441-2100.
Or 800-221-6359. We practiced this. No, we didn't, actually.
So, you know, we're going to cut it short here unless you guys have more to say. But, you know, we really want you to know that the rehab committee does care, and many rehab counselors really do care as well.
And I just want you to know that all names were changed to protect the innocent. That these are situations, though, that actually have occurred in the past. The situations are not fictitious. Maybe the names aren't. I'm not sure, but they're supposed to be. So we try to protect anyone. But you know, these situations occur more often than you'd really want to know. So, you know, really utilize our services. We're here to help you.
And I just want to thank Catherine Bales so much for being here as well to hear everybody, and thank her so much.
And she does listen to the clients, believe me, I can tell you that personally.
Okay, we're ahead of schedule.
That's a first.
So Tim's coming up here from IRTI, and he's going to be speaking. So,
hi, folks. My name is Tim Simonetti. How do you follow an act like that? Round of applause to these folks. And with a name like Simonetti, I'm going to want to talk to Tony Soprano afterwards. I got some side work. As Trish said, I'm with IRTI. We're a small company in Northern California that specializes in technology for all forms of print issue, blind, low vision, learning difficulties, etc. We develop and distribute everything from talking and braille watches to turnkey accessible computers. One of the things that we're going to talk about today, and bear with me, I just found out I was doing this about 4 hours ago, so it should be interesting. I'm going to expect you guys to help me through this with lots of good questions. What we're going to specialize tomorrow and the day after at our booth, so please come by and check us out, is a new release of our software suite, Eclipseware. Basically, and it's a great segue from the last group, the last presentation, Trish and company. They're taking it on Broadway. But it's a great segue to go into a discussion around Eclipseware. I was going to set up and demo this, but I figured I'm going to just actually bore you guys for the next 45 minutes or so, and then I'm going to ask you to come by over the next 2 days to the booth and get a one-on-one demo, because that's really how to experience it. It looks like Lewis wants to say something.
You know, there's some horrible things that happen, like nature calling when I need to be here. So I apologize. But anyhow, one of the things that, Tim, that I, since you want a direction to take this, I know that we talked about you're going to be talking about the Eclipse software package. Could you give a little talk also, or cover a little bit about what DAISY is and what the DAISY format standards are. How can you
now differentiate? You've done it.
Uh-oh, see, I'm in trouble.
I got my straight guy. We're taking this on vaudeville. You know, now you've done it. So as I was saying, what we're going to talk about over the next 4 hours...
And there's no bathroom breaks, by the way.
Yeah, none. This is a tough house. Absolutely, Lewis. This is great. But as a segue from the last presentation, one of the things that EclipseWare does is it really does. It's a life tool. It really does empower an individual to take e-text, Word docs, rich text, clear text, PDF, XML, XHTML, HTML, URL page content, surf out to the web, hard copy. This latest release, we just bolted in the latest version of Abbey Fine Reader and OCR Engine. Hard copy. Turn it into navigable, portable audio. And to that point, Lewis's point, let's talk for a minute about DAISY. You know, what in the world is DAISY? Why is DAISY important? What does it do for me? Okay. DAISY, actually, it's digital accessible or digital audio, depending on who you talk to, information system. It's an international standard around navigable portable audio. Now, what does that mean? Picture back in the day, we had the cassette tape, okay? The cassette tape was a powerful tool for disseminating audio content, okay? Problem with cassette tape was navigation. I could say to a person, hey, let's turn to page 53. Let's go to chapter 9, okay? And you're going to spend a significant amount of time trying to find that point in the tape. But it served a need. Then came beep tones, and that was brilliant. Now I can count X number of beep tones to get in the ballpark, but still somewhat clumsy. Well, picture in your minds, if you will, I have a magical stylus. I've got this magical cassette tape wand, okay? And all I got to do is speak into the little microphone, page 53. And if I touch the cassette tape, it will move to that point and begin playing. Powerful, right? Very powerful. I also want to say, if you guys have any questions or comments, I love interaction. Just jump in and talk, okay? So if I could take my magical little cassette wand and I could say chapter 9, and I could touch the cassette tape and bam, I am now on chapter 9 and I'm playing. If I could take and insert notes to self, bookmarks, notes to self, annotate bookmarks, and I could at a later date come back and say, let's navigate to that point and begin playing and play back my notes. Powerful. That's portable, navigable audio. That's DAISY. Okay? Little bit of history about DAISY. It's an international standard. It actually started in Sweden. There is a DAISY consortium, www.daisy.org. Little plug for the DAISY consortium. We're friends of the consortium, IRTI is. And basically, you're going to hear a lot within the world of DAISY. You're going to hear a lot of confusing talk, okay? But just to put it in a nutshell, one of the things that we tried to do with our software suite was actually to level the playing field, and I think we've done a pretty good job of it. In all honesty, you can make DAISY. You can take e-text. You can take hard copy. You can turn it into portable, navigable audio that will now play back on DAISY software players, DAISY hardware players, and from our production tool, Eclipse Writer, it'll actually produce an iPod playlist that will play it in proper sequence. It'll produce an M3U that will play on generic players. It will produce an AXS, which is a Windows Media Playback playlist. So in essence, now you can play it on Daisy players, Daisy software players, hardware players, and other consumer devices. Okay? You're going to hear things like Daisy 2.02, Daisy NISO 1.1, Daisy 2005, Types 3, Types 4, Types 6. Fact of the matter is, who cares? Can I navigate it and can I play it? Okay? That's all that's important. Absolutely. Amen. I like this gal back here. You know what? You can go on the road with me and Lewis. Yeah. So what we did, actually, in all seriousness, and to just clue you guys in, I'm actually not part of sales. I'm one of the software engineers. I wrote the production tool. They periodically, when they're in a pinch and they don't have any salespeople to put on the road, I get to actually come out and make a fool of myself. How am I doing? Making a fool of myself. So anyway, point being that Daisy is very complicated. Okay, and it was quite a challenge in the production tool to, you know, just clue you guys in. It was quite a challenge to hide the Daisy complexity, the moving parts, the minutia of Daisy. It basically, as I said, it literally provides you the functionality, the capabilities to move through audio chapter by chapter, text block by text block, page by page, bookmark by bookmark. And now how do I give you that capability, that functionality without, you know, going to a 4-year specialized degree in Daisy, you know? It was a challenge, and I think we actually hit it. We've built into the production tool numerous rule sets for analyzing various forms of e-text and various forms of scanning and OCRing and reading and whatnot to actually take the decision out of the process, take the complexity away from the end user and just do it. Because again, what's the point? The point is, can I read it? Can I listen to it? Can I navigate it? And can I take it with me? Okay, and that was the whole point of it. So again, you know, back to Lewis's question, you know, what is Daisy? International standard around structured, navigable audio. Okay, Daisy started out with 2.02. It was HTML based. This is the boring part. I'll put you all to sleep. started out as HTML. Okay. There are Daisy control files that actually manage the navigation of start, clip, offset, and end clip, you know, clip duration. So in all seriousness, what you're actually playing is an audio file. And a lot of people call up and they'll go, you know, we get questions like this all day long. They'll call up and they'll say, hey, Tim, you know, I don't know whether I can play Daisy or whether I can play MP3. Well, answer is yes. Daisy is MP3. Daisy's WAV. Daisy's WMA. Daisy's ASF. Daisy's Vorbis AUG. Daisy is whatever audio format the Daisy navigation control files are managing. You know, I told a guy one time, I said, you know what? If you take, picture in your mind, if you take a Daisy digital book or document, take the Daisy control file, and we'll just for the sake of conversation, we'll say we're working in MP3. Take the Daisy control files and throw them away. You know what you have? MP3. You know? Take the MP3 files, add back in the special little structured files for moving through these audio clips. And guess what you have? Hallelujah. She's good back there. Yeah. You know, you better treat her nice. Yeah, yeah, Frank Einstein. So if you hear somebody say Daisy, or is it audio? You know, yes, Daisy is audio. Okay. Now you have various flavors. Like I said, you have specification, Daisy specification 2.02. That was really the first released standard. Okay, was 2.02. It was HTML, XHTML based. And then you'll hear types 3, 4, and 6. Okay. There's actually 6 types. Now I'm gonna give you guys an exercise. This is a class exercise, okay? When you go away from CCB, next year I want you to find the IRTI booth, okay? And I want you to explain to me what types 1, 2, and 5 are for. I've read the spec at least a half a dozen times, and I don't have a clue. And that's why you'll hear types 3, 4, and 6 talked about, and you'll never hear 1, 2, and 5 talked about. I don't have a clue. They don't make sense. Now, what are types 3, 4, and 6? Type 3, Daisy, is... If your player has the facility to display synchronized text, okay, and that's going to typically be a computer. You know, you take a hardware device with no display, what's the point? Okay, it's synchronized text is meaningless. Okay, and really, if you think about it, type 3 is audio, pre-recorded audio, okay, pre-rendered audio. It's display of heading titles and pages, page labels. That's it. Okay, if your player has the facility to display. Type 4 is, and type 3 is typically, you've all heard RFBND, okay? Type 3 is the classic digital RFBND Digital Talking Book Plus. Okay, that's type 3. Type 4 is pre-recorded audio, pre-rendered audio, and everything is displayed, highlighted, and synchronized. Okay, all text. Headings, page labels, text bodies, everything. Okay? Type 6 is type 4 without pre-rendered audio. It does the text-to-speech, the TTS, at playtime. So, some of the things that you can conclude are Type 6 is probably going to play on a computer. Most hardware devices don't have built-in TTS. Okay? Types 3 and 4 and 6 are pretty much meaningless to the hardware players because most hardware players don't have displays. You know, whether you're playing 3 or 4, what's the difference? No difference. Okay? So, 2.02 was the beginning, type 3, 4, and 6, 1, 2, and 5. I want you to do your homework and come back and tell me what they're used for. Then came this funny little interim standard, and it was, and this one was confusing, it was DAISY 3. This is back to the specification. This is where it starts getting confusing because you've got specification and you've got type. It was DAISY 3. Otherwise known as NISO 1.1, otherwise known as NISO 2002, otherwise known as the Bookshare format. Okay. And it does, let me tell you. It confused me. I've read the spec half a dozen times, and I was confused. So, you know, I tend to lean toward the term NISO 1.1 because 2002 gets confused with 2.02, DAISY 3 gets confused with DAISY 2. So, you know, and again, you know, what is all the point of all of this? It's education, okay? You know, we're learning. Lewis started it. It's all his fault. He asked the question. I told you, you know, 4 hours later, right?
And after reading all this stuff, we're going to set him up with Roxanne.
Absolutely. And it gets tough, let me tell you. Yeah. So then, you know, in a nutshell, then came NISO 2005. NISO 2005, just like every other good specification and every other good software company, actually was released late. So NISO 2005 was actually formally and officially released in 2007. Hey, you know, I mean, come on. Windows 2000 came out in 2002, right? So, and again, the thing to remember is there's spec and there's type. Each spec has the same types. So, 2.02, DAISY 2.02, type 3, 4, and 6. DAISY and ISO 1.1, type 3, 4, and 6. DAISY and ISO 2005, type 3, 4, and 6. What does all that mean to you guys? Nothing. It means a lot to me. It was a pain in the neck to write the software to actually produce that stuff. It does matter. There is one point where it does matter, and this is a nice segue into our project file that comes out of our production tool, kind of pulling it back into Eclipseware. The one point is you gotta know what your player will play. Okay, I was given a lecture to a group in Wisconsin, and went through all of the. It was a university back there. Went through all of the DAISY minutia. You know, we got into some really boring details. You think this is bad? Let me tell you. And you know, when we got all done, gentleman in the back goes, "That's great. I got students that have players that play 2.02 type 6." And I said, "Okay." He said, okay, and I got players that play 2005 type 3. Yeah, okay. And he says, what do you got for me? And I said, all of that. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, well, the fact of the matter is the production tool, Eclipse Writer, again, takes in. It's got a built-in talking word processor. It's got built-in scan and read. It's got read by paragraph. It's got read by word. Scan to DAISY. It'll bring in rich text, clear text, PDF, XML, XHTML, HTML, Word doc, URL page content, scan and OCR. It brings all of that in. You can turn around then and save it back out in Word doc, XML, HTML, rich text, clear text, and DAISY, and audio with several choices of playlist, and the project file. The project file coming out of Eclipse Writer we fondly call the DNA file. It actually, internally, it was DTB DNA. It was Digital Talking Book DAISY NISO Archive. And it got too complicated and too cumbersome to say, so yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So we shortened it down to DNA. And it's been a fun little talking point ever since. Well, what is the DNA file? The DNA file is the Eclipse Writer project file. Eclipse Writer project file is all of the content, all of the intelligence, all of the behaviors to actually reproduce that book, that document. Okay? Now, the other cool thing about a DNA file is it's agnostic. It's type agnostic. It's specification agnostic. I'm coming full circle. I'm coming in for the landing here. Yeah, the kill shot. It's audio format agnostic. It's voice TTS engine agnostic. So back to the gentleman in Wisconsin. What do you got for me? I got DNA, baby. Okay? Because I can take that DNA file and I can spin up the book in MP3 specification 2.02 type 3. I can reload that DNA and I can spin it up in NISO 2005 Vorbis Aug. I can reload that DNA and I can spin it and re-spin it and re-re-spin it all day long in whatever format you choose. Pretty amazing. It's highly compressed and it's highly encrypted. Okay? And it is actually evidence. DNA keeps track of the machine that actually created it. So we said, you know what? We got this incredible production tool. We've got this incredible little project file called DNA. What if we wanted to distribute it to somebody? I wanted to email it to you. I had a gentleman in Pittsburgh. Great guy. He was working on a book, okay? And his book, fully rendered in full audio, was like 4 gig. And he had a question. He couldn't quite figure out how to do a technique. He called me up and I said, Joe, why don't you just email me your book? And he says, are you a nut? He says, it's 4 gig. I said, how big's the DNA? He said, 256K. I said, send me your DNA. He did, and I loaded it up, and guess what? I could sit there now and rebuild the book right in front of me, and he emailed it to me, okay? So, that said, we said, you know what? What if, and now you got to put up with my bad jokes, okay? What if I wanted to do that? What if I wanted a deployment strategy, a distribution methodology? What if I wanted to send somebody a book? Wow, this DNA thing is really cool. You know, we pump it out our Eclipse Writer. It's got all of the content, the intelligence, single file format. It's brilliant, okay? What if I wanted to send it to somebody, but I didn't want them to need to own a copy of Eclipse Writer? Maybe they're not going to do publishing, okay? Maybe they're not going to do editing, authoring, distribution. They just want the book, okay? So we said, what if we took the build engine in Writer and decoupled it and made it a standalone utility? And what if we gave it away for free? Wouldn't that be clever? It's Adobe for Daisy. It's PDF on steroids, you know? So we did that. And we said, hey, okay, this is really cool. Now you got to put up with a bad joke. Internally, we didn't know what to call this thing. It's like, hey, it's a cool thing, okay? So we said, you know, we got to call it something. So the internal code name for that project was Water. And the reason that it was called Water was because the standing joke was a DNA and a little water, and out pops a daisy. Oh, terrible. Yeah. I'm killing them. Yeah.
Cancel your show.
Yeah. So what is it called today? It's seriously called Eclipse Water. We got down to CSUN. You guys familiar with the CSUN convention? Okay. Yeah. Great show. Love it. We were right down to the home stretch, 11th hour. We were going to announce it at CSUN a couple of years ago. And it's like, what do we call this thing? What do we call this thing? Finally, we ran out of time and somebody said, you know what it is? It's Water. So when you hear about Eclipse Water, that is the standalone rebuild engine for DNA. So we said, isn't this clever? Okay. We've got this little utility. I can email somebody a DNA file from produced, edited, authored, published from Eclipse Writer. Bingo bango. They can shove it through there and pop out a portable, navigable rendering of that book or document in any way, shape, or form they care to. Isn't that brilliant? And then we said, you know what? We got this really cool thing called Eclipse Reader. Eclipse Reader is a software Daisy player. Okay, put it on your computer, plays Daisy talking books, Daisy talking documents. Isn't that brilliant? Awesome piece of software. A buddy of mine wrote that. Brilliant guy. And we said, you know, it would be so cool. You know, we got this standalone rebuild engine, so I can give you a DNA file. And you can use Water and you can turn it back into the book and then you can play it in Reader. But you know what? You gotta kinda know all of that. Okay? You gotta know how it all goes together. You know, I mean, we're just a bunch of software geeks here, you know? Been writing software for 30 years. I can't think any other way, you know? So, our boss came and said, wouldn't it be cool if you just kinda bolted them together and hid all the moving parts from the end user? And we did. And now it was codenamed Shock and Awe, because let me tell you, the first time we did it, your mouth dropped open. It's like, holy smokes. Things sucked the DNA right off the website, right out of the internet, and it's playing it to us. That's incredible. We now call it Eclipse Web Reader, or the Web Edition. And basically what we've done is we've embedded in Eclipse Reader a web browser. And you can use the web browser to surf around on the internet. And if you come to a link on the internet that happens to be associated with a DNA file and you select it, silently, Reader calls Water invisible. Water goes up to the web within seconds, goes up to the web, downloads the DNA, rehydrates it, if you will, back into a talking book or document, passes control back to Eclipse Reader, and Eclipse Reader is now sitting there in front of you reading to you the book or document that you just selected off the web, all within seconds. And it's pretty shock and awe.
Wow.
So the software suite that we're going to be really promoting, and we've got a lot of stuff. IRTI's got a lot of stuff. I mean, seriously, come by the booth Friday and Saturday. Check us out. We still got our two-track, four-track tape players that we modify. Screen reader, screen magnification dealers, we're CCTV dealers, and I'm really actually going somewhere right now. I know it sounds like I'm rambling, and I probably am, you know, because Lewis is sitting here looking at me. Okay, but, and I'm doing good. I'm checking the time there, buddy. Yeah, no worries, no worries. You'll get your dinner. Yeah. But the point being that not only are we developers, not only are we distributors, not only are we retailers, okay, we're all of those things. And you know, you take an item that you retail, okay? The manufacturer suggested retail price. We've all heard that. And you gotta live by it, okay? You know, as a retailer, you only get a certain amount of margin and you're kinda stuck with it. You know, you sell it for what you sell it. Well, the software was a whole different story. The software was IRTI. We wrote it. It was ours to sell for whatever we wanted. There are some embedded costs. You know, we did bolt in Abbey Fine Reader, which, by the way, I got to tell you, quick side note, we spent a year and a half looking at OCR engines. And I got to tell you, Abbey is scary good. It is the most amazing OCR engine I've ever seen. You know, a point was made up here in the discussion prior about, you know, scan and read machines. It's a black art. OCR is a really tough nut to crack, and it's very complicated in its process. But if you were sizing them up, we picked Abbey because it was scary good. Not perfect, you know, none of them will be till, you know, we get some Borg technology down here. But pretty doggone amazing. The first time I ran it, I had bolted it into the, editing, authoring, publishing tool, Eclipse Writer. And I scanned and I sent it through the OCR process, and when it popped up in the word processor, I thought the OCR process had broken. And I was just, to put it bluntly, really pissed off. I'm sitting there just fuming. It's like, it's all right. I did it right. What in the world's the matter with this thing? The reason I thought it was broken is because it was so accurate. It actually looked like a graphic image. And I was sitting there just kind of churning, you know, through my mind, trying to figure out what went wrong when I noticed that there was a blinking cursor in the word processor. And it was like, holy smokes, it converted it to text and it looks just like the document. Back to the suite. Basically, Eclipseware, like I said, I'm not part of sales, I'm one of the software engineers, and I do know one price, okay, and that's really where I was headed. The one price is the worst case scenario, and that's the one that my feeble mind can remember. It's basically Eclipse Writer Professional Edition Bundle. It's the Eclipseware Professional Edition. And basically, it's five pieces of software, not one, okay? That's a plus right out of the chute. It's Eclipse Reader, which is the playback tool. It's Eclipse Copy of Distributable, Eclipse Water, which is the rebuild engine. It's Eclipse Writer Professional, which is the editing, authoring, publishing tool, and it's two very high-end speech engines from Neo, NeoKate, NeoPol. One of our competitors, who will go nameless because we don't play those games, sells a version that we go head-to-head, feature for feature, their editing, authoring, publishing tool. It's right around $4,000. Okay? We sell the professional suite, five pieces of software, not one. We sell it for $5.95. Now, if you do the math, Hey. Yeah, lose her, okay? Yeah, lose her. Yeah. But you know, if you, in all seriousness, I love the humor, I really do. I should have been a comedian, I think. And somewhere along the line, I got derailed and became a software engineer. But, that's what they all tell me, my brother. That's what they all tell me. But you know, if you do the math though, and you think about it, you take a daisy player. Okay, a daisy player runs anywhere from $50 to $100. Okay, software daisy player. Okay, let's take all of our software that we develop. All of our software is self-voicing. It has font size, font style, foreground, background color control for LV. Okay, it's all self-voicing for blind. It's got for LD, for learning difficulties. It's got multi-sensory feedback. It's got voicing mouse over pop-up tooltips. It's got font size, font style, foreground, background color, iconic representation, again for LD. So basically what we did in all of our software is we sat down and tried to crack the nut, and it's a tough one, okay, to transcend print issue, okay? And I think we did a pretty good job. So, you know, if you stop and do the math, okay, we got about $100, you know, $50 to $100 into a software screen or software daisy player. It's a self-voicing, fully functional talking word processor. You know, that's going to be $200 or $300. It's a scan and read, read by word, read by paragraph, spell word. You know, that's $1,000 to $2,000. It's a daisy editing, authoring, publishing tool. That's anywhere from $1,000 to $4,000. You know, it's a distribution methodology deployment vehicle. You know, you're talking $1,000. You know, and you do the math, and suddenly it's like, you know what, $5.95. And you guys bear with me, but I'm gonna use a colorful metaphor that was actually used at CSUN. When I told the individual $5.95. He did the other one, ma'am. He went the other way. He goes, well, you know, 5,000, that's not bad, you know, sitting there doing the math. And I said, no. I said, it's $595. And he said, holy shit. And then the next question, he goes, how can you guys do that? I said, well, you know, there are some real costs. You know, we have to pay for the Neo speech engines. We have to pay for the Abbey Fine Reader OCR engine. You know, and there are little bits and pieces that we have to pay for. And then there is the IRTI corporate philosophy. And you ask yourselves, what is that? No, well, yeah, well, except for Lewis. You know, I mean, he's a buddy. He's a buddy. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, if Tony Soprano was still in the audience, you know, but, yeah. No, but, you know, the corporate philosophy really is, and we truly believe this, where we can control it. You know, again, retail's retail, wholesale's wholesale, manufacturer suggested retail. Yeah, you're stuck with it. But where we can control it, we could solve world hunger. And if you can't get it and you can't afford it, you're going to die. So what the heck was the point? Seriously. So what we did when we developed the software is we said, wait a minute, we're in control of this one. Okay? We can sell it for whatever we want. And if we can keep the lights on, the doors open, pick up the phone when somebody says, hey, I got a question or I got a suggestion or I got an opinion. Okay? Keep making it better, we won. Seriously. Yes, ma'am. We haven't raised the price since we started. Seriously. When we added the OCR engine, you know, most places would have said, oh, that's an expensive solution. We need to jack that up a little bit. We said, you know what? Can we keep the lights on and the doors open? Good to go. Absolutely. You know, and again, tying this brilliantly back to the last session, okay? These are really life tools. You know, I could talk your ear off with stories. It just really, I mean, I'm not an emotional guy, but it really chokes me up a little bit. You know, we had a gentleman in South Africa It was the wildest thing. You know, we're all sitting here in Grass Valley, California. And we're you know, doing our job. You know, I'm sitting there writing software, and sales folks are selling, and, you know, days going by, everything's cool. And phone rings, and somebody picks up, and it's like, I got a guy from South Africa on the phone. It's like, wow, that's way cool. So I get on the phone. Actually, they pitched it over to me because he had some technical questions. I get on the phone, and the gentleman's name was Darshan. Darshan was taking his master's program at university in South Africa. He went to a convention and heard about this eclipse something or other, IRT something or other, somewhere in the States, you know. And he got on the web and he tracked us down and he called and he said, here's the deal. He says, I'm blind and I'm failing. He says, I can't get the material I need to stay on top of my courses. He said, Father will buy whatever I need if it will do the job. Well, now let me tell you. See, I'm going to clue you guys in. This is kind of cool. One of my former lives was actually, I was a software engineer for American Express. So I know what an American Express green card really is. Those babies have no limits. So I don't know what Father did, but I wanted to be his son. You know, he gets on the phone with an American Express green card. It's like, holy smokes, you know. So, well, anyway, long story short, I talked Darshan through what we had to offer, what the Eclipse software did. Month and a half later, he calls up and he says, you know, out of the blue, he just, hey, it's me, Darshan. He said, I wanted to tell you that I'm closing in on the top 10 percentile, and I guarantee I'm going to overtake it. Yeah, pretty doggone amazing. I've got a gentleman in Chicago that bought... Yeah, baby, he's Chicago. Yeah, talk to Tony. Yeah. He actually was going to college and bought the product. It helped him through the product. He called back a couple years later. And he said, I just wanted to tell you, I just got a job. And he says, guess what the first thing I had the IT folks install? It was our stuff, you know? And let me tell you, yeah, again, you know, I mean, truth be told, I've been writing software for 30 years. You know, I've written every IS database tracking managerial system for every corporate jerk that ever was born, okay? I've worked for Fortune 100s my whole life. And one day I found that they gave my job away. And I was unemployed. And my wife, actually, you guys probably know Sue Simonetti. Okay, that's my wife. She's director of sales at IRTI. She actually had taken a job there. You know, as I was watching my career at American Express crash and burn, as they took 60,000 jobs and sent them off to other parts of the world. And yeah, that's fine. I'm over the bitterness. Yeah. And you know something? In all seriousness, I am. You know, I sit there now and I think, how would I have ever found this world? You know, I had no clue. You know, I mean, for a software engineer, accessibility technology is extremely challenging. And at the end of the day, you feel pretty damn good about what you're doing. You know, nobody's getting rich, but you know what? You feel pretty good about what you've done. So, you know, I kind of, you know, tongue in cheek, I joke about American Express giving my job away, but you know what? I'm kind of glad they did. So anyway, I'm actually closing in on my hour because we started early. But just wanted to open it up to you guys, okay? Any questions, any comments? The other thing I wanted to just tell you, in all seriousness, I mean, we're all ears. You know, as a programmer, I tried out guests, you know. Literally, our acid test for all of our software, you know, I'm sighted, you know. I'd tell you guys straight up, you know, though I'm 50, which, you know, the sighted isn't quite as sighted as it used to be. Yeah, The sheets of paper now are just like the blurs of paper, and if I don't have my strength in reading glasses, I can't read squat. So I know. Yeah, bear with me. But I'll tell you straight up. You know, but our acid test at work.
You had to consider getting Eclipse for your eye problem.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you. I joke around. You know, I gotta write faster because I'm gonna be using this stuff. Okay. Exactly. But you know, our acid test before we roll any software out, I turn the monitor off, I put the mouse away. If I can get through it myself, we're gold. Otherwise, it doesn't go out the door. And to that point, you know, again, me and my Eclipse Reader buddy, you know, Doug, brilliant programmer. There are a handful of us. There's about four software engineers that all collaboratively work on this stuff. And, you know, the reality is we can't outthink it all. We try, you know, but none of us are pompous enough to believe that we could get it always. We could get it 100% always. The good stuff comes from you guys, and we are all ears. You know, you call up and you say, hey, you know what would make this brilliant? If you could just do this. And let me tell you, it goes on the list of to-dos. Might not make it in the next release, it might not make it in two releases, but I guarantee it'll make it in one of them. Okay? So, to that point, call. Okay? If you have ideas, if you have thoughts, if you have comments, call. I tell people this all the time. You know, back to Lewis's question about Daisy. I sit on the phone and talk to people about Daisy all day long, and they haven't even purchased from us. And you know what? It doesn't matter. You know, I tell people, look, if you got questions, if you need to chat, I had a guy the other day called up from Canada, and he was one of our competitors. And he goes, you know, he says, I hope you don't mind. You know, how does it work like this in Daisy? It's like, hey, no problem. You know, let's talk. You know, it's one of those environments where, you know, competitor is spelled with a small C, you know, which we're all trying to carve out enough to keep the doors open and keep plowing down the path. And let me tell you, you know, the federal government and the state government are making it extremely difficult to do that these days. I know my sister, you know, and that's my side political commentary, and I'm done with it and I'm over it. And the bitterness is almost gone too. Yes, ma'am, I got a hand up over there. If you choose, absolutely. And I love the question. That's the agnostic part. It literally, now remember this, and again, you got a couple of little decisions to make. And what I tell people when they're starting out in the world of Daisy is Daisy 2.02 specification was the original specification. All the Daisy players play 2.02. Okay? You get out into 2005, there's one or two here and there, you know. But if you want to play it safe, build it in 2.02, okay? If you want to play it on something else, then you're safer going with Type 3 or 4 so that the audio is pre-rendered. Because remember what I was saying about Type 6? It does the TTS on the fly at playtime. You're talking about a computer, okay? Or some transport tool. I think Book Courier actually will take a... StreamWheel 2, that's correct. But it actually, it's not... Wait a minute, the stream actually plays, it TTSs on the device. Yes, it does. Okay, I say, there you go. And that's one of, and actually to tell you the truth, it's the only one that I know of that actually does the TTS on the device at playtime. Book Courier has this little transport tool that really it's pre-rendering it as it goes across. So it's not TTSing at playtime. It actually does convert it like into a Type 3 book, you know, and it does the pre-rendering from computer to device at transport time. Now the stream, you're right, it actually does have the TTS on board and you can load it. In fact, here's a little commentary, a little plug for Eclipseware. Guess what Humanware uses to produce their Daisy manuals? Yes, it is. The man gets a gold star. Absolutely. It's so cool. It's very cool. And again, you know, competitor with a small C. Yeah, you know what? You never know. Give Pete a call. Yeah. This stream. Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, if you plug the stream into your computer, it shows up as a targeted device, USB device. You can, in Writer, Eclipse Writer, you can build a book right straight into the stream. It's very cool. Yeah, very cool. Excellent. Yes, Lewis.
Tim was ignoring me, but I had to raise my hand and wave in front of him because I'm sitting behind him, I guess. Anyhow, I have a question.
I'm just ignoring you.
No, I know that. Everybody does. So, what's new? But I have a question. And maybe you did say this, and I had a mental relapse for a second there, but if I have a PDF file, and I'm able to, and it's not a protected file, and I'd like to turn that into a DAISY file. For example, I have a book. I have a couple of books, actually. One of them is a DAISY for, is a PDF book. The other one is the book that I was able to convert to a doc file. Can I import those to Eclipse, any of the Eclipse tools?
Yes.
And turn it into a DAISY book? So I,
yes.
I can only go to the sections that I want, not what it wants to give me?
Actually, you can pull it in, and I say this with one qualification. PDF is a very strange beast, okay? If it doesn't have the text hanging behind the document, the e-text, then it's nothing more than a photograph.
Yep.
At that point, with Writer Professional, you could scan and OCR it in if you wanted, okay? But from e-format to e-format, if the text isn't behind it, Writer's word processor can't get to it because there is no text to get. I've got a gentleman in Arizona that's doing just that for some state agencies, and it turns out that the PDF has the e-text hanging behind it, so he's gold. But I told him, I said, you know, the reality is, if there is no e-text there, it's nothing more than a photograph. And at that point, scan and OCR it. Yes, ma'am. It's software. It goes on your computer. Actually, all of the Eclipseware is software, goes on your computer, produces, and this might be where you got confused, produces a audio book or document that is purely portable. Put it on your DAISY player, play it on your computer, put it on your iPod, put it on your stream, put it on. Well, basically what we did is, as far as, and it all depends on, obviously, on the format, we have two flavors of WAV, okay? We have 44.1 and 2205, okay, for WAV, and then for sampling rates, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. And then for MP3, we followed RFBND standard. I can't remember what it is. All we did is we took, okay, you know, there is success in the industry already, so why fix what isn't broken, you know? So we just sat down and we said, okay, here's MP3, RFBND, let's use their sample configuration. And it's not quite, but it's close, because they do one other thing that I'm still trying to figure out how they do it. There's another attribute to the audio format that I haven't actually cracked yet. That'll shave just a little bit more off of it. But for all intents and purposes, it's the same as RFBND. WMA, we actually took as close to the MP3 as we could get without turning into noise. So, wow. Yes, sir. Yes. If you go into the files, the DAISY control files consist primarily of SMIL, S-M-I-L files. It was a format developed by IBM. And the SMIL files are actually... They're glue, okay? The smile file glues the table of contents to the audio clip to the display file. And this, it's SMIL, yeah. So it's .SMIL. So if you see smiles in a folder, already you're probably 99.9% sure you're on a Daisy book, okay? Then if you see a file called ncc.html, you're in a Daisy 2.02 book. If you see a file that's blah dot, so whatever dot, ncx, you're either in an ISO 1.1 or an ISO 2005. So the answer is yeah, you can crack open a folder. And actually, you know, we do a class for anybody that's interested. We do a 2-day training session. Costs money, you know. I mean, it everything does these days. It's the gas, you know. I mean, come on. It's like, you know, I've discovered we're in trouble. I pulled into the gas station the other day, and they don't sell it by the gallon. They sell it by the troy ounce. It's scaring me. Yeah. Yeah, but I've got a plan. Okay, Frankenstein. I'll keep my day job. But you know, I gotta zing you guys with a couple of bad ones. Okay, you know, but I've got a solution. I figured it out. Okay, I was over at Long's. You know what? Carlo Rossi's selling for like $2 a gallon. Cheap wine, baby. I'm gonna start burning cheap wine. Yeah. So actually, in closure, we do a training course. I did it for Lighthouse San Francisco. It's a 2-day course. People come in and we do it on prem at our shop, or we suitcase it out, and we go through everything. We crack it open. We dissect Daisy. We go into detail with all of the eclipses. You know, reader and writer and water and, you know, the web version, the bridge between reader and water and all the stuff. But we do a 2-day in-depth training session. Yes, sir.
Does the program also have any kind of tutorial attached to it? Let's say myself, I'm not technical. I mean, I use a computer. That's it. I use it. I'm not, you know, I don't do the software or any of the development. So what does it take for someone who really has no knowledge of this until now?
No worries. Let me tell you, one of the things that we did in this release is it now has two modes. It has an advanced mode and it has a basic mode. And it's not to say that basic is, you know, Daisy for dummies, okay? So it's not... It's, you know, but basically what it does is it hides some of the advanced features from you in basic mode. And that's how we started out now, is we said, okay, here you go. You're coming into the basic mode right out of the wrapper. It does come with a quick guide and a basic tutorial built into it. I got to fess up, little oversight. You know, like I said, the good stuff comes from you guys. The other day, somebody called me up and said, you know, the content of this quick guide is brilliant. I didn't write it, actually. Peter, the owner of the company, did. He goes, it's brilliant, but I can only read it. I can't move around. And it's like, wow, that was really stupid of me, wasn't it? So I got to tell you, the built-in one, the navigation built into it isn't that great. And the next version, 4.1, we're at version 4. I'm working on a 4.1. It'll have some basic navigation in the tutorial and the quick guide and all of that. And I apologize immensely for the oversight. We also install the Word document equivalent into the installation folder. I'm also going to add the HTML version of it and some links that come up in the program files listing. So you could actually just pull it up in your IE or your Mozilla or whatever your browser of choice. And we have, in Daisy format, Eclipseware user's manual that comes with it. Also, if you wanted a more advanced, more robust, you know, it's a basic user's manual. If you wanted a more robust user's manual, there's a very dear friend of ours up in Canada, Karen McCall, some of you may know her. She writes tutorials, and she did a set of tutorials for Eclipseware that we now sell for her. And I can't remember the price of them, but we sell them for her. So answer's yeah, we got a lot of resources. The other thing I'd tell folks is if you get into the Eclipseware paradigm, don't ever, and I repeat, don't ever get frustrated, okay? I'm serious. You get on the phone and you call me before you get there. I had a gal the other day called up, and I mean she was fuming. And it was like, she was reaching through the phone and, you know, socking me in the face, you know, and it's like, ma'am, what were you trying to do? You know? And she described to me what she was trying to do. And I said, you know what? This is not that complicated, okay? Take a deep breath, let it out slow, and I'm gonna talk you through it, okay? And when we finished, she was very pleased, very happy, thanked us a million times. And I said, do me one favor. Don't ever go here again. Okay? Just call. We'll talk you through it all day long. You know, no problem. We'll get you through it. So don't ever get frustrated. You know, just take a couple of rounds at it. And, you know, if you get it, great. If you don't, give a holler. You know, we'll talk you through it. No big deal. Okay? The other thing that I would ask you is come by the booth Friday and Saturday, get a one-on-one. It's pretty doggone amazing, okay? And as you know, as we've talked about, extremely affordable. I really am not part of sales. I write software. Yeah, if I'm not. And the other thing I would ask you to do for me personally, okay, because this is a personal life's mission. For me, you know, when I found my way out of the evil world and realized that there was, you know, some things still left in life that are worthy of, you know, and that are fulfilling, you know, self-gratifying. You know, the words escape me. If you like what you hear, okay, tell a friend. And if that friend likes what they hear, ask them to tell a friend. Okay? Lewis, I think I'm done.
I think you've done a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. It's been great. I really appreciate it.
I only have a problem with IRTI. They always make me spend money. They bring me new toys every time.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, geez.
Done deal. I will be in the booth tomorrow. I won't be able to make it Saturday. It's actually going to be me and Sue tomorrow, and then Peter and Sue on Saturday.
What? Golf is more important on Saturday?
No, actually, it's just. I guess some friends coming down from Reno, and they just came up out of the blue. And
poker game. I knew.
Now you're on to me. Well, we don't. But we like to talk about those fictitious
droids,
just to pretend. Yeah. Hey, no, I got to tell you guys one closing story. You'll love this, okay? Talk about you know, not having friends, okay? One evening, Neo voices. These are scary voices, okay? I mean, I've fooled people with them before. I fooled my sister at a party one time. And she didn't realize that they were actually synthesized. And, you know, they keep getting better and better and better, you know. So, you know, just to paint the picture for you guys, I'm sitting there one evening, everybody's gone, you know, and I always lock up the doors, you know, because I'm a little freaked out, you know. It's our office is kind of off in the way in the woods, you know. So I got all the doors locked up, but I'm also, you know, energy conscious, so I turn all the lights off except for the one, you know. So you get in the picture. It's kind of eerie, Frankenstein, okay? Yeah, it's kind of eerie, you know. I got one bank of lights on over the top of me. I think I've locked everything down. And I'm sitting there at a bench, you know, and I have my laptop, and I'm working away on it was on Eclipse Writer. I'm sitting there working away. Forgot that I had a test running, okay, behind me on a computer. Oh, yeah. It's one of those moments where you jump up and dust yourself off, and you go, that's right, I meant to do that. Yeah. No worries, I'm okay, I'm cool. Yeah. I forgot that Neo Paul was going to announce the completion and give me a rundown of the statistics. So I'm sitting there working away, and all of a sudden this guy over my shoulder goes, "Test successfully completed." I flew out of my chair, flipped over backwards, hit the floor on my back, nearly ripped the laptop down on top of me, and then jumped up and looked around to make sure nobody was watching. Well, that's all I got, folks. I'll be here tomorrow. Come by and see me, and I'll give you all of you one-on-ones. It'll be great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much, Tim. It's a great presentation. Learn something new about DAISY and learn more about Eclipse and Eclipse software. And I look forward to possibly picking one up tomorrow. I may just do that.
Outstanding.
All right, folks. Well, it's the end of our technology session. I want to thank all the presenters, Lita from ABIC, and, of course, Roxanne and Tricia for their presentation, and of course Tim for words of wisdom regarding Eclipse Reader and DAISY. So I will turn the microphone down now, and thank you for coming.